Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to have you in that listening audience today. I'm going to be giving you an update here regarding the Africa mission coming up. We're going to be leaving in just a few days, getting on the planes in Kansas City the 5th of July. And so this will be the last message that I preach from over here on this side of the ocean. And we're looking forward with great anticipation to the Africa mission this year. Have some great crusades lined up, one in Tanzania that's going to be a blockbuster, 5 days in Dar es Salaam, the capital city of Tanzania. 6 million people live in Dar es Salaam, and so we're looking forward to setting up there, and we're going to go 5 days. And this is a country that is on the coast of Africa, on the east coast, and Dar es Salaam is the major port city for that part of Africa, and it's also a cultural and financial center, and so we're looking forward to setting up there 5 days. We have a gospel singer, one of the most famous singers in the country, that is going to be leading worship for us, and so we look forward to having her out there on the platform to lead worship. I'm also going to be leading some worship and possibly doing a live CD from that crusade. And so that is going to be a great opportunity for me as well. And we're going to be preaching the good news of Jesus Christ to hopefully thousands and tens of thousands of people. And it'll be a wonderful time for this ministry, a wonderful time for the kingdom, and we're going to lift up Jesus' name and lift him high to all the nations of the earth. And then from there, we're going on over to Burundi, to Ngozi, where I've been twice before, and we're going to preach a 3-day crusade over there, and looking forward to big crowds there in Ngozi. And then in addition to that, I'll be going to Rwanda, preach church revival in Gisenye, and then back over to Uganda. And I have a couple of things pending in Uganda, a church revival in Kampala, where I was last year, and also a crusade out on the border with Congo, out on the west border of Uganda with Congolese refugees, a 3-day crusade out there. And that will be an opportunity to preach to the Congolese who have been driven out of their homes in East Congo. And I will also be in Kenya and spending a majority of my time in Kenya near the orphanage site at Mumias, Kenya. And so we're looking forward to working on that orphanage, getting some construction work done, and hopefully by the end of the year have that building done and have a place for 30 to 40 children to live where we can teach them about Jesus and bring them in there where they'll be safe and off the streets of Kenya, out of the hands of traffickers. And so that is going to be an ongoing project while I'm traveling, but also hope to see it come to fruition and be finished by the first of the year. So I ask for your prayers. Our team asks for your prayers. We ask for your support. If you've never supported Gather the Outcast Ministry, now is the time. Now is the time. Don't wait, because we need your support. We need your prayers. We need your financial donations. And the kingdom of heaven is for such as these, for these children, and you can be a part of that. You can be a part of bringing the kingdom of heaven to these children there in Kenya. So we ask for your support. We'll have contact information at the end, but if you've never, again, if you've never donated, now is the time to do it. Don't wait. Don't put it off, because the opportunities to bring people into the kingdom, the opportunities for revival, and the opportunities for a great harvest are greater now than ever before. And beloved, God wants to include you in his plans. He wants you to get involved, and he wants you to be a part of this great harvest. Well, we're going to speak about marriage and family today, and this is a follow-up from last week's message where I spoke about sexual immorality. And if you did not hear that message, you can go to the website, gattheroutcast.com, and listen to that message on the website, on the radio archives, on the front page of the website. But today we're going to be continuing to talk in that same subject matter, that same line of subject in regards to marriage and family. And we're going to end up over in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And in verse 1, we'll be there in just a minute. But first, I have a couple of scriptures I want to bring to you. Marriage and the bringing together of male and female is God's idea. Marriage is a covenant between two people. But beloved, when two people covenant together with God, He takes it very seriously. It's something that He created, He ordained. And so therefore, He takes it very seriously. And so that is why any separation from marriage, any divorce, all of those things are very painful. And that is by God's design, because He takes marriage very seriously, and so should we. Genesis 1:27, God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. And in verse 28, then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And so, first of all, we find out that God created male and female. There are only two genders, in spite of what you see going on in America today, where there is so much gender confusion, and even young people are thoroughly confused and disoriented regarding their own gender. God created only two genders, and they are male and female. Anything else outside of that, beyond that, above that, below that, or whatever you could say, anything else besides male and female is a confusion, and it comes from the devil. It is a perversion, and it is not God's will. And so God has a plan here, and His plan is perfect. His plan is sent from heaven, and it is for us, beloved. It is for our blessing. It is for our welfare. It is to prosper us. And so when God lays out a plan, it is best for man, to the extent that he can, it is best for man to follow that plan. Matthew 19, there's a very interesting scripture here regarding marriage and divorce. The Pharisees were asking Jesus, what is the situation, they asked Jesus, under which man and woman can divorce? And Jesus said to them, verse 4, Matthew 19, have you not read that he who made them in the beginning made them male and female? And so Jesus went back, he took them back to the scripture in Genesis, and he referred to that scripture that I just read, Genesis 1:27. And then Jesus goes on to build on that foundation. In verse 5, he said, for this reason, a man shall leave his mother and father and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Well, what reason is he talking about? The reason is to propagate, to multiply, and be fruitful, and replenish the earth, fill the earth, and subdue it. That is the reason God brings male and female together, is for multiplication, for reproduction, for procreation. God gives us the ability to create. Just as He is a creator, so also we have the ability to create by His divine power, by His divine grace that He has given us, and by the act of bringing male and female together, then we can create the next generation of godly people. And so Jesus said in verse 5, chapter 19, and he said, for this reason, a man shall leave his mother and father and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then, they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. I'm sure all of you have heard that, possibly at your own wedding, but certainly at other people's weddings, that when God brings two together, they are no longer two separate people, but they are now one flesh, and they operate as one in the eyes of God. They are inseparable. He says, let no man separate them. And so God defends the covenant, He defends His covenant, and He expects man to defend that covenant, and that is why marriage is such a serious thing with God. The covenant is in force as long as God declares it to be in force, and so that is His will. For the sake of the children, for His namesake, for His great and mighty name, He stands by His covenant, and He will enforce it, and He will see to it that it is protected, and the people involved in the covenant are also protected. Well, the disciples and the Pharisees then asked, well, why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and put the wife away? And Jesus said, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And so Moses had allowed the children of Israel to issue certificates of divorce. He had allowed that to protect the woman, to protect the wife when she was put away, so that the man couldn't just casually put her away and then decide later that he would take her back. He gave them an opportunity to write a certificate of divorce, and that was the protection for the protection of the woman, so that the man who put her away could not take her back casually. He could not take her back. She would not be allowed to go back to him, and so it would make him think twice about putting his wife away or divorcing her. It would make him stop and think, well, if you do this, this is going to be a lasting thing. You are not going to ever be able to take your wife back. Okay, well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, then the Apostle Paul goes on to talk about marriage and divorce and situations regarding dating and situations regarding marriage with virgins, and all of this type of stuff then is laid out here in chapter 7. This is the most comprehensive teaching on marriage and divorce of anywhere in the Bible. And so we have here a picture of God's plan, and we have an elaborate, detailed description of God's plan for the relationship between man and woman and man and wife. Verse 1 in chapter 7, Paul says, now concerning the things of which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. And so Paul is saying, it is good for you to stay single. It is good for you to be single, but do not be going around putting your hands on women. If you're a man, don't be putting your hands on women, and don't be stirring up sexual desire by placing your hands on women in places where you should not be touching them. And basically what he was saying is, if you cannot control your passion, if you have a burning to have a wife, if you have a burning to be the companion of a wife, then it is better to have your own wife and let each woman have her own husband. Young people listening to me today out there, I beg you, do not get the cart in front of the horse. Don't be going around jumping in bed and bed hopping with other singles. Put your trust in God that He is going to bring you a good mate. Put your trust in God that He knows the plan that He has for you, and He has a good plan for you. And if you are single, enjoy your singleness and spend your time, dedicate your time, devote your time to serving the Lord. And if you have a desire to be married, just pray for God to bring a good mate to you to help you and be your helpmeet. But beloved, whatever you are doing, do it for the Lord. If you are single, do that for the Lord and dedicate your life for the Lord. If you are married, be a good married partner to your partner, but also dedicate your life to the Lord. Be as if you were not married. Paul goes on to say later in this chapter, even if you are married, conduct yourself as if you're not. In other words, dedicate yourself to the Lord and seek the Lord's plan for your life. Seek the Lord and commit yourself in service to Him. Don't let the marriage become an excuse not to serve the Lord and not to go out and do things for the kingdom. Don't let that become an excuse. You can be married. You can be a missionary. You can preach the gospel and be married. You can do all these things. And so your helpmeet should be placed beside you to help you in your kingdom walk. And as you dedicate your life in service to the Lord, then your helpmeet will be a helper, and the two then can become greater than each of them separate. Verse 3, let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. And verse 4, the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does, and likewise the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. In other words, be submissive to your husband if you are a wife, and if you're a husband, be submissive to your wife, and you do not have authority over your own body. That does not give you authority to make a slave out of your wife or a slave out of your husband or to control them and manipulate them. It's just saying be willing to serve your husband, be willing to serve your wife, and submit to their needs. And so you are submitting to them, and you do not have authority over your own body. You give that over to your mate. You give that over to your spouse. And so you do that in submission to them. And verse 5, do not deprive one another except for consent for a time, that you may give yourself to fasting and prayer, and come together again, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. And if you are married, what Paul is saying here is there may be times in your marriage when you need to fast and you need to really bear down in your prayer time and in your prayer life. You may have issues with yourself or with your marriage or with your children. You may have issues where you really need to bear down and pray and spend a lot of time in prayer. And so when those times come, you'll feel a burden to pray. And by mutual consent, what he says is you decide to fast from sexual activity, you decide to fast from intimacy, and you spend that time and you get focused on prayer. You devote yourself individually and as a couple to prayer, and so that this time can be spent and the energy can be spent better in prayer rather than focused on each other and focused on the marriage. And so Paul is saying, but then come back together so that Satan does not tempt you. In other words, don't unilaterally make a decision, well, I'm going to fast and pray for 30 days and not get the consent of your wife or your husband. Don't do that, because temptation is always out there. There are people down at the office or people in the church, there are people in the school or whatever that may look tempting to you or may be enticing to you. And so Paul says, come together out of consent. You know, agree to come back together so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of control. And then Paul goes on to say in verse 7, for I wish that all men were even as myself, but each one has his own gift from God, one in this manner and another in that. Well, Paul, we know, was single, and there's no evidence in the Bible. Some people say, well, he had a family because he was a member of the Sanhedrin and they had to be married. Well, there's no evidence that I know of that I've ever read that Paul was actually married, that had children or anything of that nature. It appears from all his writings, it appears from everything we know about him in Scripture, that he was single and he was able to serve the Lord. He traveled to many countries. He preached the gospel in many countries over many years, suffered many hardships, suffered great persecution. And he covered a lot of territory, planted churches in several countries in Turkey and Greece, Macedonia, even up in Rome and places such as that. And so we know that Paul, very productive for the kingdom of God. He ended up writing about 13 books of the Bible, and so he would not have been able, it is very unlikely that he would have been able to accomplish all those things had he been married. Because when you are married, you're focused on taking care of the needs of your wife, taking care of the needs of your family, and so that tends to take preeminence. And so it's very unusual for somebody to accomplish as much as Paul did and still be married. And so it's very likely that he was single. And so this is what Paul is saying. He's encouraging those who have not married to stay single. He's encouraged them. He's saying, stay as I am. I wish that all men were even as myself, but each one has his own gift from God, and one in this matter and another in that. But I say to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them if they remain even as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. And so Paul is encouraging those who are unmarried and those who are widows, stay single. But if you have a passion or if you have a desire to be married, if you have a desire, he's speaking here of the desire for intimacy primarily. And some people we know, I have many friends enjoy being single. I have some friends that are single and don't enjoy it. They want to be married. I have some friends that are married and they don't want to be married. They want to be single. And so there's all kinds of situations in the human condition. I'm sure all of you know people in every one of those circumstances, in every one of those situations yourself. But Paul is just saying he wishes that everybody would be in the same frame of mind, the same situation that he's in. Well, we know that is not going to be possible. If everybody were single, there would be no children. So that isn't going to be possible. And most people's desire is to have a companion. Most people's desire is to have children and to raise children, to have a family. That is a natural desire. There's a great blessing there. Other places in Scripture it says it is good for man not to be alone. And so that is the reason that God created a helpmeet for Adam in the first place. He saw man and he had no helper. He had no companion. He had no one to be with him. And so God said it is good for man to not be alone. And so he brought Eve to him. He created Eve out of his rib and created a helper for him, a helpmeet. But Adam already had his job to do. He was already commissioned to take care of the garden, to cultivate the garden. Even before Eve was created, Adam had his job to do. And so that is the lesson for us, beloved. If you are seeking a helpmeet, seeking a companion, and you don't have any mission and you don't have any garden to cultivate in the kingdom of God, I urge you today, get busy cultivating the garden. Get busy finding out what God wants you to do. And then at that point in time, I'm sure God will bring a good helper to you. He'll have a helpmeet in mind for you. And when you are busy with the kingdom and then he puts a helper beside you, then you're not totally focused on your mate. You're not totally focused on just satisfying her. You're also working for the kingdom. You're also pleasing God, and you're also taking care of the garden that he has called you to cultivate. Well, Paul again says it is good for the unmarried and to the widows if they remain, even as I am, but if they cannot exercise control, let them marry. So it is okay. It is okay to marry. And it is okay for the unmarried and the widows, for those who have been married and are divorced. There are some scriptural reasons. We'll look at those, some scriptural basis for divorce, justified by Scripture. And if you're in that situation where you have a scripturally justified or a biblically justified divorce, then you're free to marry. But I can tell you in God's plan, in nearly every situation, it is his plan and his desire that you be reconciled to your wife, even cases where there has been adultery, even cases where there has been gross negligence or abuse or physical abuse. It is still God's plan for the church to mediate, for the people of God to come in and mediate a reconciliation. Because whatever God has put together, it is his desire that they stay together. It is his desire, especially if there are children in the family, if there are children involved, it is God's desire for reconciliation between the husband and wife. It is God's desire then that those that he brought together, whatever he brought together, the two shall become one and one flesh, and then let no man separate. So even in cases where there has been many difficulties, negligence, adultery, all kinds of situations, pornography, all of these things, of course, are the devil's plan to tear a marriage apart, to tear man away from woman. But even in these situations, God can come in and restore. He is God of restoration. He can restore and he can give back all that the devil has taken from a marriage, and the marriage can be even greater than ever before, but there has to be forgiveness, there has to be restoration, there has to be healing, there has to be a spirit of cooperation and agreement. But when that is in place, and by the grace of God, two people are able to forgive each other, then the marriage can go forward, and God can bless it, and wants to bless it, and will bless it for the sake of all those involved. And so that is God's plan for marriage. We're going to take up more in regards to how divorce and separation plays into the marriage picture. We'll take that up next message, so stay tuned for that. Once again, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We invite you to participate in the support of this ministry, and we invite you to participate in your prayers and also your financial contributions for anyone making a donation. We have a gift of the book, Gather the Outcast, Reaching the Lost in Africa, a book that was published a couple of years ago, and we would get that book into your hands for a donation of any amount. Stay tuned for contact information. Thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.